We are blessed to have our speaker with us today, Dr. Tony Wheeler. We're glad he's able to come and share with us. Will you join me in a word of prayer for him? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for bringing this speaker out. Help him to speak your truth only. Help us to hear your truth only, and may we be blessed by the message shared today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Tony.
Amen. Thanks, sir. Thanks. Wow, it's great to be here. We got a new mic. Thanks, Casey. We're going to adjust that. Thanks. I feel like the Lord pulled an audible on me this morning. He thought I was going to talk about the blessing, didn't you? I thought I was too. I feel like this morning, last night, showed me a picture of you all just out and about this next week. And I think we're just going to talk for a little bit about life in Christ, because if you will let him work through you this week, he will do that. If you choose to be like the world, and the world just thinks we're all dorks and we're a bunch of hypocrites, and most of the time we are. But if we'll understand who we are in him and live with him, he is just looking for a people that will say yes to him, and that his presence can move through them to bring light and life to someone else. And so I just want to talk and believe that as I'm talking, the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind situations you're going to be in this next week at spring break, and relationships that you can either walk into those relationships for yourself and what can I get from this, or if you put yourself in a position of, okay, Lord, is there something that I can, if you're going home, something I can give my mom or my dad or my siblings or our people around? Is there something they need, and I'm open to you working through me to give them that? If you're going to someone else's house, or you're going to a destination somewhere, some of you are going on a missions trip, believe the Lord's serious that, I mean, come on, you came to Barclay College, Haviland, Kansas, not to be a kind of a weak, mediocre Christian. You came here because, hey, I'm serious. I want to know him and I want to walk with him. And so as you're sent out this next week, walk with him, be who he has created you to be. And so let's walk through a couple of examples of what does that look like in Christ. If Christ is in us, our lives should be different, right? The data tells us that those that claim Christ in them, their lives are just like the world. Divorce rate's the same, pornography use is the same, addictions are the same. Well, we want to be different and allow Christ to rule in us and free us. And I believe he is doing that, and believe that you will be represent Christ in a way that, hey, there's something different about that person. I want to know what that is. And you'll get to tell him what it is. All right, so let's practice this for a second. Stand with me if you would. And I want you to find two other people that you don't know real well. Now, let me just say before we do this, if this exercise thing we're going to do makes you feel uncomfortable, well, feel free to be uncomfortable. We're going to do it anyway, and I want to ask you to move and take risk, all right? So find two other people that you don't know well and get in groups of three. Okay, ready? Go. All right, keep moving till you're in a group of three. Keep moving. Someone grab John Bunce and Kevin Lee, don't come out. Grab people, groups of three. Okay, everyone in a group of three, who's not in a group of three? All right, keep moving. Christina, Kevin Lee will take you. Okay, ready? Okay, now decide in your group real quick. Who's number one, who's number two, and who's number three? Just real quick, who's number one, who's number two, and who's number three? All right, come back with me for a second. Okay, number one is typically the person that really just likes to talk the most. And so we're going to let number three go first. Number three go first. So here's what we want you to do. Number three, we want, for a minute, we want you to share with one and two whatever you want to share about their life. Okay? Now, as number three is sharing, one and two, you have an important role. I want you to look at number three and listen as if you care about what they're saying. okay? Get good eye contact, listen, don't ask any questions. Then after that minute, you'll get to ask rebuttal questions, okay? So number three, share with one and two for a minute. Ready, go. All right, minutes up, time is up. Number three, now one and two, we want you to ask rebuttal questions and ask whatever you want. And I'm telling you, take opportunity to ask the good stuff, you know? Who you got your eye on, you know? How you doing in classes? You know, those types of things. We want to explore a little bit. So one and two, ask rebuttal questions and number three for a minute. Ready, go. All right, time is up. Time is up. Come back with me for a second. Come back with me a second. How many of you feel like you know someone a bit better? How many of you feel known a bit better? Yeah, I'm telling you, if you will do this where in your sphere of influence, wherever the Lord has you, the world doesn't have Christ in them and they are unable to see others. It's all about them and all about themselves. But if you will find rest in your security in the Lord and be free enough to see others, the Lord will use you to impact them. So I want you to practice that, simply to listen, to see, to care from your time. Is this in and out, or is that me getting quiet and soft? Giving them your time and hearing their heart, earning the right then to speak into their life. Because they expect Christians to just tell them what to do and tell them all that they're doing wrong. So take the time this week, practice to see people, hear what's going on in their life, what they're feeling, what they're thinking, explore them a little bit, and watch the Lord open the opportunity for you to speak life into them. All right? Feel doable? Yeah, either, but we're going to keep trying to do it and keep moving toward others and watching Him work through us. All right? Okay, say goodbye to your new best friend and go back to your seat. All right, come back with me. You can finish your conversation in about 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Okay, so, hey, come back with me. Let's go a couple more steps. Okay, what does it look like? Christ in me, how do I move? Recently read a book we assigned it to a graduate program called The Furious Longing of God by Brennan Manning. Brennan is a unique guy that takes time and effort to understand Christ and understand His love for him and the connectedness that they have. And in this furious longing of God, there's a passage in Song of Solomon that I want to chew on here for a second. Case, can you pop that up there? Song of Solomon, verse 7:10. I am my beloved's and His desire is for me. I am my beloved's and His desire is for me. The concept is foreign to us. I am His beloved, that the Father loves me and enjoys me. Because we can tempt that with, listen, I'm doing this wrong and that wrong. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. And so we don't receive that love. Well, I believe He's moving us at Barclay College and will woo you this week, if you'll let Him, to have a taste of being His beloved. I am my beloved's and His desire is for me. And so I want to ask you to give a little bit of time to wrestling with that. God, is that true that I'm your beloved? And your desire is for me. When we taste that we are His beloved and His desire is for us, what happens is our striving changes. Our position in life changes because now we're a son and daughter of the King, that He loves us and He enjoys us. And we can follow His will because we believe He's for us. Not trying to change us, not trying to ruin our life, not trying to judge us, but He's for us. And so my prayer is that as you seek Him over this break, that you will have a taste of, man, God thinks I'm hot stuff. He enjoys me. And not only that, but His desire is for me. He wants the best for me. Brendan talks about a couple of outcomes that will happen as we gain that understanding that we are His beloved and His desire is for us. He says, as we understand that, the drum beats of doom in your head will be displaced by a song in your heart that will lead to a twinkle in your eye. He says that when you taste that you are his beloved and his desire is for you, you will not be dependent on the company of others to ease your loneliness, for he is Emmanuel, God with us. When we understand that we are his beloved and his desire is for us, the praise of others will not send our spirits soaring, nor will criticism plunge us into the pit. The rejection may make us sick, but it will not be a sickness unto death. In a significant interior development, you will move from I should pray to I must pray. As we understand that we are his beloved and his desire is for us, you will live with an awareness that the Father not only loves you, but he likes you. He wants to hang out with you over spring break. He wants to go with you and enjoy the things that you enjoy. As you understand that you are his beloved and his desire is for you, you will stop comparing yourself with others. In the same way, you will not trumpet your own importance, boast about your victories in the vineyard, and feel superior to anyone. Well, how do we live? How do we thrive if we're not convincing others that we're something? Well, when you are his beloved and his desire is for you, you don't need the approval of others. You will read, in, like it says in Zephaniah 30, 17 through 18, and see that God is dancing for joy because of you. Off and on throughout the day, you will just know that you are being seen by Jesus with a gaze of infinite tenderness. I'm telling you, most of the time I feel alone, and I'm doing this on my own and just trying to figure life out. I long for more and believe that something unique is happening at Barclay College, that there's a unique anointing that's here, and that he woos us to an intimacy with him, that we live different, we see others different, our purpose for our life is different, and it starts with an intimacy with him. And so I want to encourage you over this break to spend time with the King, because he enjoys you. You are his beloved, and his desire is for you. I mean, it doesn't sell real well. You know, everything's telling you over spring break, you do all kinds of stuff. And the flesh loves it. And the more you please your flesh, the better life is. And I want to counter that and say, listen, I want to tell you that the more time you spend with the King, the more rest and peace and hope you will live in. If you give him time over your break, you will taste rest for your soul. All right? And so, in your heart, I want to ask you to, okay, Lord, how do I do that? Help me to get there. Help me to understand that I'm your beloved and your desire is for me, and for me to give time to you in my downtime. All right, one more thing. I want to chew on a verse for a second. John 13, Jesus gives us an example. Gave his disciples, an example of what it looks like to understand that you are his beloved and his desire is for you. Jesus lived different. He acted different. And so in this example, it's one of his last shots with his guys before persecution started to come, before he started ministering to others. He wanted them to have an experience of what that looks like. And so as we read about how Jesus walked, knowing that he was the Lord's beloved, and the movement he had with others, I think this type of movement or interaction with others is going to happen with you if you'll say yes to him over the break. And when I say over the break, I think that's just a start. I think it's something that will prime the pump and become a part of your life. So let's read this verse. We're going to read 1 through 7 and then 12 through, I'm not sure where I'm going to end, but here we go. You guys have seen this before. So it was just before Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So he knew his impact on earth was coming to an end. And so if his impact was ending, what did he want to leave people with? The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so for us, for you to understand that as you walk in life, that the King lives in you. That because of the grace that the Father offered us through Jesus' death, the Holy Spirit is in you, life is in you, anointing, power is in you, you're different. And so in that difference, our lives should look different, shouldn't they? And so Jesus, knowing that the Father was in him, the Father was leading his life, that he was going where the Father wanted him to go, he lived different. He interacted with others different, all right? Here says verse 4. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. And so this Jesus understanding that he was the son of his Father, that God the Father was with him, that was in him. His position wasn't to manipulate others through his position of being master and king or being served. That understanding led him to live different, to wash the feet of others. I think over this break, you're going to have opportunities to metaphorically wash the feet of others, to see them, to care for them, to help them, that it's not all about you. And that as you do that, you'll experience the Lord moving through you. Some commentator, this understanding of Jesus taking off his outer clothing, I wish I could cite this commentator, but I don't know who it is. Sorry, Bunce. And I've used it a couple of times, so I think it's mine anyway. The commentator says, having taken off his outer garment, Jesus, or Yeshua, was left in his tunic, a short garment-like long undershirt. Slaves would be so dressed to serve at the meal. Jesus tied a linen cloth around his waist, which was to dry their feet. Obviously not one in which you would expect the master to do. A Jewish text says this is something a Gentile slave would be required to do, but not even a Jewish slave would be required to do this. On the other hand, foot washing is something wives did for husbands, children for parents, disciples for teachers. A level of intimacy is involved in these cases, unlike when the Gentile slaves would do the washing. In Jesus' case, there's an obvious reversal of roles with his disciples. The one whose hands the Father had given all now takes his disciples' feet into his hands and washes them. That Jesus wanted to model for the guys, listen, I think you can use the influence that I've given you. I think you can use the positioning I've given you to build a big church, to do a lot of things. But really what I'm asking you to do is do what I did and to drop the facade. When Jesus took off that tunic, he stood before them in his underwear, exposed. I'm hoping that as you interact with others over the break, they won't see, boy, this person, they've gotten just more arrogant, more headstrong. They think they know more. I'm hoping they taste in you. There's a new life in them. There's a new security in them that moves them to see me differently, moves them to care on a different level. And so, again, metaphorically, believe the Lord's going to ask you to drop your facade, to stand before people exposed. Maybe not in your underwear, but to stand before them exposed rather than living behind your facade and to choose to serve others. And the world's going to say, you are bizarre. That is so weird. But boy, there's something there. At least they're not going to say, boy, that person is a dork or that person is arrogant. They're going to taste something in you. Let's go on. Let's finish this. He came to Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't realize what I'm doing, but you will. Let's go to verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He said to them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who has sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I want you to be blessed. I want your marriages to be blessed. I want your ministries to be blessed. I want you to experience the Lord moving through you and you living different and changing lives. And that's going to happen as we walk in the security of knowing that we are our beloved's and his desires for us. And in that security, we drop our facades, we see others, and we move toward loving them and serving them, metaphorically washing their feet. I think it's going to happen over break. I think the desire of your heart to experience the Lord moving through you to give life to others is going to happen. And I think as you do that, you're going to experience what rest for your soul that Paul talks about. Peace that goes beyond understanding. All right? Makes sense? And so until you get to where you're going over break, I want to ask you to think about or pray about what those interactions might look like. If you're not going home, here's what I want to encourage some of you to do. I want to encourage you to write letters, cards of blessing to your parents. I want to encourage you to, in ministry, what happens a lot of times is we're good at everybody, at ministering to everyone but our own family. And so I do a lot of pastors' conferences, and I talk about, listen, pastors, if you're not loving your wife well and your kids well, let's get that right first, because we want you to minister from a base of integrity. And so for you, I want to encourage you to reach out to your families. I want to encourage you to see them, to bless them, to write a card, to write a letter, thank you for what you've done for me. Here's what the Lord's doing in my life, to make that connection. If you're going home, I want to encourage you to sit down with your parents if they're around, or sit down with your siblings and have a conversation with them that you see them, you enjoy them, you let the Lord move in that conversation. All right? Feel doable? Again, you know what I'm going to say. It's not. But if we allow the Lord to work through us, then it will happen and we'll live different. Okay? Good. That's all I got. Stand with me if you would. I just want to pray over you and ask that the Lord would move you into those interactions. So Lord, thank you. We stand before you, and I believe that on some level, every student here said yes to you. They want to serve you. They want to give their lives to you, be different, and believe that you're giving us that opportunity and calling us over this time of break to walk with our King, to experience being your beloved, to experience rest in knowing that your desire is for us. So I pray that you would woo us, that we would spend time with you, and I pray that the outcome of knowing who we are in you, Lord, that we would see others. May we see the people around us, and may we move in a lovingly way toward them. Thank you, Lord. I ask that you would bless each student. I ask that you would bless their future. Man, may your presence be with them. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks a ton. Do you close now, Derek? Is that it? All right, good. Should I just close? I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do, but I think you can go. So thanks a ton. Have a great break, seriously.